This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A study of America's daycare centers reported discouraging news earlier this month. The study found that most child care is poor enough to interfere with children's emotional and intellectual development. The study examined centers in four states: California, Colorado, Connecticut, and North Carolina. My guest Richard Clifford is one of the study's principal investigators. He co-directs the Early Childhood Leadership Development Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He also helped create and implement a program at North Carolina which he hopes will become a model for how to improve daycare. It's called the Smart Start Program. It uses government and private sector money to help upgrade daycare and make it more affordable. I talked to Clifford first about the daycare study. He told me about the problems the investigators found at the daycare centers they studied.
We know that infants and toddlers are susceptible to getting infectious diseases during their early period in their lives, and that when they're in group care, they're particularly susceptible to these infectious diseases because it's easy to spread those diseases from one child to another, especially around diapering and toileting times. And so we were particularly concerned when in the infant and toddler programs we found that caregivers were not washing their hands between diaperings always, when we found that the diapering surface wasn't disinfected between every child, between children when they were having diapers changed, and when in general the sanitary conditions in the programs were not up to the standards that we expected they should be. So this means that those infants and toddlers are susceptible to catching more colds, to getting diarrhea more often than they should. And we thought that was of a major concern for us.
What about for the older children?
For the older children, we didn't find as much to be concerned about in terms of the health and safety issues, although there were some problems in that area. But the most serious concerns there were more in terms of their intellectual and emotional development. And there, what we mean is that the children didn't have enough toys, enough books around for them to look at, that they didn't have the level of interaction with the adults in the program that were needed to develop their language skills, these kinds of things.
What advice would you have to parents on what to look for when choosing a daycare center?
Well, there are a whole series of things, but I would say the most important one is that parents have to go in and take the time to look carefully at what's going on in the program. You have to go in and sit down and stay for a while. You can't just walk by and see that it looks nice. In fact, one of the things we found related to quality was how much of the money that the center spent was spent on staff salaries and benefits compared to other things, like the building. And we found that the more of their resources spent on staff, wages and benefits, the higher the quality. I think one clue is particularly important for parents who already have their children in care. We recommend that when they go in and visit their child's program, that they pay particular attention to what the caregivers are doing with the other children, not their own child. One would expect that if a parent is there, that the caregivers are going to pay particular attention to the children of the parents who are in the room. And so parents should be watching more what goes on with other children, because that's what they should expect would be happening with their own children when they're not there.
You know, after reviewing the findings that most of the daycare you looked at was mediocre, there's a couple of conclusions you can reach. One is, well, daycare centers need to be improved. But the other conclusion would be, well, daycare doesn't work very well, therefore women should stay at home and not use daycare. Which conclusions did you reach?
Well, I don't think the women staying at home and caring for their children is a viable option in our society, in our economy. Our economy is built around women being major players in the workforce. And that's true in virtually all industrialized countries in the world. And we don't say that about children in school. The children shouldn't. We have problems with school. We've been talking about educational reform for over a decade and complaining about the quality of school. But nobody has suggested that mothers should stay home and be the major educational force in America. We still are going to have to count on our public and private schools to provide most of that. And I think the same is true for child care.
Child care costs a lot of money. How hopeful are you that we'll reach a point in the United States where it's affordable?
Well, childcare does cost a lot. I think that's one of the big things the study showed, is that even for this, what we call mediocre care, mediocre to poor care, families are spending a lot of money, and centers that are providing the care are spending a lot of money. It costs $95 a week on average to provide the quality of care that we saw in this study. Families paid $86 of that cost, $86 a week. That's a lot of money.
So how much more do you think it would cost to have high-quality care?
Well, we were surprised that there was not more difference in the cost of the highest quality programs from mediocre quality. To move from mediocre to good quality care seemed to cost, the difference in the cost of those centers was about 10%.
So you're talking less than $10 per child per week?
Per week. Yeah, about $10 per child per week would be about the difference in the cost of those programs. I think what this says mostly is that if parents really shop around, they can find higher quality care without paying a huge difference in cost. Now, to raise the quality of all programs substantially, I think this is an understatement of that, however, because to do that, we're going to have to pay people higher wages, and that's going to cost more than 10%.
My guest is Richard Clifford. He helped create the North Carolina Smart Start Program, a public-private partnership to provide childcare. And he was one of the principal investigators of a study in evaluating the quality of daycare centers in several states. We'll be back after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Richard Clifford. He co-directs the Early Childhood Leadership Development Program, sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And he helped develop a program called Smart Start, which is a public-private partnership to improve daycare in the state of North Carolina. You have tried to improve the state of daycare and access to daycare in your state, the state of North Carolina, through a program you helped design called Smart Start. That's a partnership between government and the private sector to help make childcare more affordable and more available. Just give us a brief overview of this program, what it does, how it works.
Smart Start is a public-private partnership that is basically locally controlled. The state sets very broad goals for the Smart Start initiative. It says that every child should come to school healthy and ready to learn when they get to school, the number one goal, education goal number one. That every child who needs it and whose family wants it should have access to high-quality child care. And that every early childhood program should actively involve parents in the process of caring for and educating their young children. So these are very broad goals that the state of North Carolina has set for the state. So it's very much locally driven. The program begins with the state offering an opportunity for counties to participate, and then counties or groups of counties apply to participate in the Smart Start program, and then are selected based on their application.
So in Smart Start, the government doesn't run daycare centers. It offers subsidies to families to help the families afford daycare. It gives grants to upgrade daycare centers and expand their enrollment, scholarships for child care teachers to take classes in early childhood education. Was this intentional? Did you want to make sure that you weren't designing a program where the government ran daycare centers, but rather helped improve daycare centers and improve access to them?
Well, I would say that we left that decision up to the local communities. Mm-hmm. There are a few local communities that do run programs in the governmental sector, in the public sector, but the vast majority of them chose to use existing child care facilities in the community or other preschool programs, Head Start programs, part-day preschools, health services that were available already in the community, and to upgrade those services to make them more accessible to families, to make the quality of them higher.
How do you see daycare as fitting into the current debate about welfare?
Well, daycare is an important part of the welfare issue. If we want mothers who are currently on welfare to be in the workforce and off of welfare, we're going to have to provide them some help with child care for their young children. They simply can't afford to go to work at minimum wage or slightly above minimum wage and afford child care for their children. the costs that we saw in our cost, quality, and child outcome study are clear, that families who are living at the lower end of the income level and working families pay somewhere in the neighborhood of a quarter of their total family income for child care. And that's just not reasonable. That's more than families spend for food. And it's not a reasonable expectation that those families can afford high-quality child care.
I'm wondering if through the Smart Start program, women were able to leave welfare and get a job because they had daycare for their children.
Well, we don't have a lot of scientific evidence on that, but we have a lot of anecdotal evidence. We have stories from all across the counties participating about women who were able to go back into the workforce, and men for that matter as well, who were able to go back into the workforce or to enter the workforce because they were able finally to afford high quality care. In my own county, there is a young woman who was going to lose her job because she couldn't afford the quality of care that was available for her child. And so she was just about to stop when she found out about the new Smart Start initiative that expanded child care subsidies for her and that made her eligible finally for child care support. And she was able to stay in her job because of that. And we have stories of people all over who have gone to work because they finally had child care that they could pay for and felt good about.
I understand that the military has a very developed daycare system. Did you look at that?
We did not look at that in this study, but I think that's an important one to point to. The military, over the last decade, has made a huge improvement in the quality of care in the military. I've done some work with the Army and the Navy, both, and a little bit with the Air Force, and I've had an opportunity to observe in these programs. It's interesting that the military was perhaps the first big employer to notice this link between quality of programs for young children and its impact on their later lives. One of the things we know about soldiers in America is that they're likely to be the sons and daughters of soldiers. And the military knew this to be a fact. And when they made the connection between what was available for young children and their abilities to perform later in life, they immediately recognized that if they provided higher quality programs for the children of military personnel, those children were going to be coming back to them as military personnel not too many years later. And so they have made large investments in improving the quality of care in military installations.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Did they?
Actually, I got interested in child care when my son, who is now 26, started in child care at age 3.
Were you nervous about putting him in daycare?
I was, and I spent a lot of time working on this. I served on the board of directors of his daycare center, and I've continued to work with that one center for the last 23 years. But my wife and I both were concerned about this issue, about the quality of care. We spent a lot of time looking at programs here in Chapel Hill, where we live, and talking to other people who had their children in child care or who had had their children in child care. And we had to get on a long waiting list. We had to ask way ahead of time in order to get into a high-quality program. And then we did the same thing with our daughter when she started in child care.
Now, that's frustrating, isn't it, having to get on a list and wait for something that you want like that?
I would say it's frustrating. The most frustrating thing was locating the high-quality care.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of time, and this continued on into their early school years when we were doing after-school care as well. Every year was a crisis for us. We had to be sure that we had programs we felt like were good for our children before we both felt comfortable about working. And so we spent a lot of time and energy doing that. But in the end, it really paid off. Our children did have high-quality care. They had really wonderful caregivers and people that we've stayed friends with for over 20 years that we developed and met when our children were in care. And we saw directly, firsthand, what good quality programs can do for children.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Richard Clifford helped design North Carolina's Smart Start program. He was also a principal investigator in a study of the cost and quality of child care. He's a professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. This is Fresh Air.